with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times." Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought in before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will repay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had a fellow servant put in prison until he paid back that debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgive you your entire debt because you begged me to.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Now, there's a little story about a woman, a couple really, and they were celebrating their 50th anniversary. They were celebrating their golden wedding anniversary. And somebody, a friend of hers, said to her, "How come after 50, you seem to have such a happy marriage? What is the secret?" And the woman said to her friend, "Well, you see," she said, "on my wedding day, the day I got married, I made a list of my husband's 10 worst faults and decided that whenever he was guilty of one of those faults, I would forgive him, I would overlook it." And the friend then said, "Well, what were some of the faults you put on the list?" The woman replied, "Well, to be honest with you, I never made out the list. But whenever we had a major row or he made me absolutely mad, I would always stop and say to myself, 'Lucky for him, that's not, that fault is on the list.'" That was one way of achieving happiness and happy marriage. Now, if you go through the gospel this morning, and let's look, and just now as I was reading the gospel, I saw something else that I never saw before. And maybe that's the best of not being over-prepared. You may not agree with that, but that's how it is. Peter was always seen to be the self-appointed spokesman for everybody else, for the disciples and the apostles. So he came to Jesus and said, because Jesus had been talking about, as you remember last Sunday, about forgiveness, and if you have a row, how should you come to terms with that? And we listened about eventually taking it to the community and so on. And so Peter comes back and he says to Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? And Peter, to make himself look good, should I forgive him 7 times? 7 was rather the number denoting perfection. And Jesus came back at Peter and said, no, he said, you ought to forgive him 70 times 7. In other words, there's no end to the mercy. Interesting, no end to your forgiveness. Now, something that I missed before in the reading of this particular section of the gospel is this man who owed the king or owed the master a huge amount. Now, I looked up, did a bit of research on what was meant by a huge amount. And it was something like 10,000 denarii. And translated into working days and days of labor, it would amount to 100,000 working days, which, you know, probably nobody could achieve. So the amount he owed his master was beyond all realms of possibility of paying it back. That's a very significant point, because God didn't expect the king takes the place of God. God didn't expect repayment. Interesting, because he knew the man couldn't repay it, and he forgave him totally. And then he went out and met somebody who owed him a much smaller amount and refused to forgive him. Now, a question for you, and this is where I miss you not being here, because I could interact with you. A question for you, and we'll pause for a moment while you think of the answer. What was the reason that the man who had been forgiven such a large debt failed to forgive somebody else who owed him a very small amount? What was at the bottom of that? What would you think was the really, you got to look in now to your own heart and your own soul and dig deep down, because you always got to dig deep down. So what stopped him? What did he not have? What did this man not have in his heart that he could not forgive his fellow servant? Think about that for a moment. Well, my answer to that, and I think it is the answer to a lack of mercy in one's life is a lack of gratitude. Why do I say that? Well, what do we do at the beginning of Mass each time we come to Mass? We ask God's forgiveness. And this morning, if you were joining in with me at the Mass, you said 3 times, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. There has never been a time in my life that I have not been in need of the mercy of God. And if you say, there have been times in your life when you did not need God's mercy, I would find that very, very hard to believe. We all continually need God's mercy. And when it comes to interesting in the first reading this morning, the book of Sirach, you remember that little phrase there, that wrath and anger. And I would put in there bitterness and resentment, you know, a refusal to forgive. Some people seem to hug it. That was the word used in the book of Sirach. Hug it to themselves, you know. When I do that, it's a sign that my heart is closed. And so many people find it so difficult to forgive. And like everything else in life, it always begins internally within ourselves. Forgiveness begins with me. So, what do we mean by that? Well, how do you feel when you make a mistake, and especially if you do it in public, or when you do something wrong that you're ashamed of, or you make a big faux pas? How do you feel? And many people feel really to beat themselves up. They cannot forgive themselves. Now, at the bottom of that, what's at the bottom of that? If I feel so bad, I did something wrong and I can't even forgive myself, then it's more than likely I'm going to find it very hard to forgive anybody else. But if I can't forgive myself, what's at the bottom of that? Well, it comes down to, you know, never being wrong or always being right. And then if you dig a bit deep there, which we always have to do, what's the bottom? What's beneath that? What's causing that? And the answer is pride. Pride. That I could have done something silly or made a mistake or got it wrong. How could I do this? How could I fail in this? So we must always begin with ourselves and be ready to forgive ourselves before we think of forgiving anybody else. It happens time and time again in confession. I'm forever saying to people, don't come to confession, confess your sins. The priest gives you absolution, and then walk out and still feel guilty. Because when God forgives, he forgives totally. But sometimes we find it very hard to accept forgiveness. So how do you feel about that? When somebody forgives you, how do you feel? Do you feel relieved? Do you feel embarrassed? Or do you feel ashamed? How do you feel? All these questions are very, very interesting, because they give each one of us, if we answer them honestly and sincerely, they give us an answer into our real selves, our real selves. And a phrase that I never let anybody off with, and it's used time and time again, is people will often say to me about something that happened in the past or something that somebody did to them in the past, I can't forgive him, I can't forgive her. That is a lie. That is a lie. Because the truth is, I don't want to forgive. So when you tell the truth, then you can do something about it. But as long as you keep convincing yourself, I can't forgive, you're never going to move on. That is an absolute fact of life. And so many people end up in that. And what happens? You end up in prison, self-imposed prison, unhappy, torturing yourself. You never enjoy the freedom of mercy. Because mercy, when you are able to receive mercy and pass that mercy on, you enjoy a freedom. You enjoy a happiness, as long as your forgiveness is sincere. To finish on a little story about that, about forgiveness being sincere. This woman said, who had recently become a Christian, she said, well, somebody said, what difference has it made in your life? And she said, well, I had an uncle I used to absolutely hate, and I actually hated him so much that I vowed, I made a promise, I would never even go to his funeral. And now she says that I become a Christian, I'd be happy to go to his funeral anytime. So there's a bit of lack of sincerity there. So the whole idea and the whole question of forgiveness, if you read the Gospels, it comes up time and time and time again. And in most people's lives, and I include myself, it can become a major obstacle, stumbling block, a major problem, unless you are willing to let go.